On October 31st, 1517, according to our tradition, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door at All Saints Church in Wittenberg. And so, as Lauren mentioned, October 31st is Reformation Day. A perfect day to give out Bibles to second graders. A perfect day to sing an opening hymn from Martin Luther. But the choice of this second scripture lesson was not motivated by Reformation Sunday. We're just continuing in our series. The text from Nehemiah I'm about to read to you is simply the next in line of our stories of restoration and reunion in the Bible. But as happens more often than not, for preacher and congregation, Sunday in and Sunday out, even when they come together and bring the world, church life, and even the calendar to bear on a particular biblical text, Holy Spirit happens. As it turns out, Nehemiah chapter 8 has everything to do with the theology birthed in the Reformation. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 1. Hear the word of God. When the seventh month came, the people of Israel being settled in their towns, all the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The scribe Ezra stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah on his right hand, and Padiah, Mishael, Micaiah, Hashum, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the door, opened the book in the sight of the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting their hands, and then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiam, Jamin, Akub, Shebethai, Hodiah, Messiah, Kalita, Azari, Josabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites helped the people to understand the Lord while the law while the people remained in their places. So they read from the book from the law of God with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. This is the word of the Lord. I did the best I could with a list of names. In most congregations, you would just read loudly and confidently, and everybody would think you knew what you were doing. Not so much here at Nassau Church. So I'm sure I did not get all of them or even most of them correct, but I had to try. I had to try because you have to keep the names. You have to figure the two lists of names are there for a reason. The second group, the names identified as Levites, they are listed as those who helped the people to understand the law. But the reason or purpose for those in the first list, those who stood to Ezra's right and left as Ezra opened the book, why that list is here is unclear. Maybe they were there to help with the book. But that's a lot of helpers. Maybe they were there as representatives of each of the family groups that were there, heads of households, so to speak, a sign of the patriarchal culture and religious norms. Maybe they were selected and appointed witnesses to the reading of the law of God, some form of ritual liturgical responsibility. Or maybe the list is there simply to underscore and highlight how people-driven this Watergate scene really was. The people are everywhere throughout this event. All the people were gathered together in the square before the Watergate. The people told Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses. Ezra brought the law before the assembly, before the people, both women and men. As Ezra read from early morning until midday, the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. He was standing on the platform above all the people. When he opened the book, all the people stood up. After Ezra offers a blessing to the Lord, the great God, all the people answered, "Amen, amen." They all bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord and their faces to the ground. The named Levites helped the people to understand while the people remained in their places. They gave the sense so that the people understood. Ezra and the Levites who taught the people said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." They said that because all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. The Levites stilled all the people, telling them, "This day is holy." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and share portions with those who had none. They went to make great rejoicing because they, all the people had understood the words that were declared to them. All the people. You have to keep the lists. You have to read the list. You have to take note of all the people because the Watergate is about all the people and the Torah. All the people and the Word of God. These last few weeks, we've spent quite a bit of time in the sermon filling in the story, first of Jacob and Esau, and then Benjamin and his brothers. This morning, I offer the concise summary of Professor Jim Vandergam teaching in the assembly room as we speak, from the series study guide. After being exiled in Babylon, the Jewish people finally returned to Jerusalem to find their beloved city and temple in ruins. Nehemiah begins rebuilding the city walls while the priest Ezra seeks to rededicate the temple. Both of these leaders were convinced that the national disasters of the past were caused by disobedience to the law and feared their contemporaries were repeating the sins of their ancestors. So this preaching scene at the Watergate, with all the people gathered and the wooden platform built for the occasion and the reading and the interpreting of the law, comes to the fore amid Ezra and Nehemiah's call for the people to return to the law. The return, the reunion, the restoration is not just to Jerusalem, not just to the temple. It's the reunion of all the people and the law of God, all the people and the Torah. All the people and the Word of God. The people and the Word. It is a relationship that rests at the very heart of Reformation history, tradition, and understanding. Scripture as the Word of God, available in the language of the people. The presence of the visible church, where the Word of God is truly preached and heard and sacraments rightly administrated. The Protestant watchwords that uphold the affirmations of the Reformation, the affirmation that God's grace in Jesus Christ is revealed in the Scripture, grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone. Preaching as the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit as the community gathers and the Scriptures are interpreted and the gospel is proclaimed. The Word of God made flesh in Jesus Christ so that all of the reading, all the study, all the interpretation is in and through the community and in service to the one who alone is full of grace and full of truth. It's striking that the response to the reading and interpreting and understanding of the law in and among the people in Nehemiah, the response of weeping, that response in and of itself is collective, corporate, community. All the people wept. There was no missing it. That square was filled with tears. And what is described here as the response of the word, it's not individual. This isn't I come to the garden alone kind of revival meeting. And Ezra and Nehemiah and the Levites proclaim that the people's response to the word has to be more than tears. It has to go beyond the weeping. Do not mourn or weep. This day is holy to the Lord your God. The preacher and those who gave the sense of the law, they told the people to go and eat and drink and share from their abundance with those who had none. They told the people to rejoice and celebrate because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Watergate gathering finally broke up because the people went on their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great rejoicing. Sending portions and making great rejoicing because they understood the words that were declared to them. The sending away. It sounds like what happened after Pentecost when all the people were living together and sharing what they had and feasting and rejoicing and worshiping all the people and the Word of God. More than tears, more than weeping. The response to understanding the Word of God is life together in the community of faith. The Jewish people returned to a familiar place, yet heard the law of God, the Word of God, in a fresh way. And you really can't miss it. It was not about one person's heart or one person's relationship to God. It was about all the people. The preaching tradition with such strong roots in the Reformation, the preaching tradition entrusted to us, affirms that our response to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ is our life together as a community of faith. It can't be about one preacher or one person's interpretation or one preacher in a living room at home on a Thursday morning recording on a cell phone. Oh, we could do it. We did it to keep us all healthy and safe. But that's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to do this together. The mantle of the reading and the proclaiming of God's word passed on to us demands a preaching life. Preacher and congregation that is about discerning our life together in the world, discerning how our faith informs not just what it is, what's going on inside our heart, inside our congregation, but out in the broader community, in the city, and in the world. Every Sunday when you and I gather here now in person and virtually, when we gather in this familiar place, the very promise of God is that we would hear and understand God's word in a fresh, living way. The people of God and the living word of God. The people of God and the living word and I. Word of God. And you and I hearing and listening and straining to understand, yearning to get the sense of the word for this time and this place, discerning a faithful response when it comes to life together here and now. It would be so much easier for us, easier for the preacher, if it were just about you and God and your interpretation of what you're reading. You and your relationship with God and God's word and your salvation. But that was never how it was supposed to be. Remember, all the people. Yes, remember the people. All the people and the living word of God, for the joy of the Lord shall be our strength, and our preaching life, our worship life shall be a joyful feast, and we shall be sent forth in joy, and out of our abundance we shall send portions to those who have none, because we are the people of the word. We are the church. We are the body of Christ, the hands and feet of Christ for one another, so we can be the hands and feet of Christ to the world. And the only way to do that, the faithful way to do that, the way God calls us to be the hands and feet of Christ to each other and to the world, is that every Lord's Day we come together and yearn for a fresh experience of the living Word of God. Amen. For the sermon hymn, the congregation was invited to join on the refrain. It is in Hebrew, and the translation of the Hebrew, with the help of Dr. Kathy Sackenfeld, is God's teaching is God's light. Alleluia. God's teaching is God's light. Alleluia. Let's stand and sing as you are able our sermon hymn.